discussing Rabbi Yasser. That Rabbi Yasser is not a bad guy. Rabbi Yasser, who the Askim Mari Al Yodeh, we relied on Rabbi Yasser. They see it. The pasuk says, "Vatizne alav pilaksha." This is by Pilegesh B'Giva. The pasuk says that the Pilegesh had been mezanin. What exactly does it mean he was mezanin? Rabbi Yasser is good matzalah. Tosis, by the way, the Rav Maskil explains why Chazal did not assume, why Rabbi Yasser did not assume that nus was literal. And Rabbi Yasser says that they found a fly. Rabbi Yasser Amr Nima matzalah. And in other words, he found the fly in his soup, Rashi says, or his car, to be precise. Car in modern Hebrew is a ball. Rabbi Yonasan Amar Nima Matzalav, that he found it here. In other words, both those things were disturbing. Vahashkechei Rabbi Yasser Leliyahu. And Rabbi Yasser, he's got to be a good guy. He met Eliyahu. Amalei, my covenant, Kaddish Baruch. But what's that Kaddish Baruch doing? Amalei, Pasik, Pilegesh B'Giva. He's involved in the Sugya, he's discussing, he's learning the Sugya, Pilegesh B'Giva. He's up to Gittin Davav on the day, or he's up to Shoftim. Umaykamar, and what's he saying? Amalei, he says, Ev Yasser B'ni Kachu Omer, Yerinasim B'ni Kachu Omer. It's just a beautiful metaphor. HaKadosh Baruch was saying that Ev Yasser says like this, and Yerinasim says like this. Amalei chas v'shalom. Now the truth is, my daughter, may she be well, serious girl. She sees things very, very clear, black and white. So her teacher told her about the story in Bava Metzia. We have by Tanur Shelachnoi. And in Tanur Shelachnoi, it very much bothered her. This was a classic Beis Yaakov problem that the teacher was teaching Loba Shemayim Yid, and the scribes, who was a Rabbi Yoshua, that he wanted to prove his shita was correct, and he said, and if I'm correct, then the walls will come caving in. Sure enough, the walls started caving in. But in the end, the halacha was not like him, because the Gemara, Rabbi Lazar, thank you, because the Gemara says Loba Shemayim Yid. Where it says, Lo Hashemayim. So my daughter was very much bothered. In Shemayim, they're saying that this is correct. So how do the Rabbanon have the right to disagree? Vamevin Yavin, that Elu Velu Dibre Lekim Chaim, is a very, very similar type of thing. It's a parallel. And that is expressed, what my daughter was bothered by, is was also similarly expressed by this Gemara. Obviously, it's a slightly different thing. Here, it's a suffering in Shemayim, and there was, how could it possibly be that Shemayim, they're going to say this way? Then the Beis Yaakov teacher did a terrible thing. She said, no more questions. That was it. No more questions. So Baruch Hashem, I'm lucky that I have time and that I learned this. What do you do with a girl whose father is busy at work, he does, or he's not familiar with the Gemara, or he hasn't thought about this? It doesn't make sense. And then the teacher says, no more questions. That could be terrible, terrible, terrible thing. So on Amuna Day, so my daughter and I came late, and I went out with my daughter, and we ate, and we schmoozed, and we said that all of her questions that she had that her teachers didn't answer, we would schmooze about it. And once we schmoozed about it, then beautiful things come out in terms of understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. But these are things that are not pashut, and these are things that young people and teenagers struggle with. Okay, so the Gemara struggles with it. Amalei mi gasveka kamei shemaya. Is there a suffix in heaven? In other words, is Rav Yasser right or is Yonasan right? Amalei elu velu dibre lekim chayim. Both things are right. Both things are true. Hein zvuv matzah v'lo hikbid. He did find a fly, but he wasn't makbid. Nima matzah v'hikbid. And the other Amora holds the opposite. He holds nima matzah v'lo hikbid, zvuv matzah v'hikbid. Now I just want to point out that the Gemara needs, it's not enough just to say elu velu dibre lekim chayim. This is going to be an important point later on. It's not enough just to utter the words Elu Velu Dibre Lekim Chayim. Because at the end of the day, which one was it? Was it a fly or was it a hare? So the answer is that both events happened, but it was a little unclear. It was a little unclear to Rabbi Yasser, and to Rabbi Yonasan. Or there was a machlokis between them how to interpret the events, possibly based on the psukim themselves. But it's not just, we say, Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim chayim, carte blanche, right? If we would know that it was Vuv Matzalo, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not be saying, Rabbi Yonasan ben Yomer kacha. If it happened factually one of the two things, then in such a case, it would not be Bini Omer Kach. There's nothing more beautiful, I think, in all of Shas than this sugya. Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim chayim. Why is Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim chayim so beautiful? It's really expressed so cogently in the Gemara in Erevin. Someone passed me a Gemara Erevin, as well as a photocopy from Ritva Erevin. On Yugimel Amabez, as Yaakov pointed out, is an important Gemara also in Musar, whether it's better for a person to be creative or not. There's the Ritva, thank you. So the Gemara in Erevin Yugimel Amabez is the more expressive source of Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim chayim, and what a beautiful, beautiful Gemara it is. What we're struggling with in the Beis HaMedrash is what the Gemara describes on Yugimel HaMabez, that a lot of times the Torah gives us 48 reasons to be Metaher Sheretz and 48 reasons why to be Metameh Sheretz. Gemara says, Tana Talmud Vasikoye Biyavne Shei Metaheres HaSheretz. But here he gave 150. Previously the Gemara says 48 reasons, and then the Gemara says 150 Tamid. What does that mean? What it means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his Torah is so beautiful. It's so complex. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite, and there's nothing closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than his Torah, that there's so many different components and there's so many different layers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. And the Gemara says, three lines before the Y, that is the machlokes in between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Amar Rav Abba, Amar Shmuel, Shalosh Shanim Nechleku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, Halala Amru Halacha Kimoseinu, Halala Amru Omrim Halacha Kimoseinu. Yotza Baskol V'Amra, Eilu Ve'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. So Baskol says that every machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, both of them are correct. As Rav Moshe predicted, mentioned for a different version of this last night, two people came to the Rav. One said his case, the Rav said you're right. The other one said his case, said you're right. The Rav Avinson called out from the kitchen after both be right, and he said you're right too. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Revitzin, like usual. The Revitzin is usually the highest Madrega. And Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Kaviyachal, is the Revitzin. And Kadosh Baruch Hu says, well, in this case, Kadosh Baruch Hu answers the question. He says, they are both right. So the Gemara says, oh, wait a second. V'chimei achar she'elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim mipnei ma'zocha be'silut boya alocha kamoitza. So now where Midos comes in. This is a tremendous Musar. Maybe we should be ma'amik in this more. The Gemara says there's Eilu ve'Eilu. Both are right. We're going to need the Ritvaz that's going to explain what does it mean that they're both right. But at the end of the day, what's Kovei Halacha is Midos. What's Kovei Halacha is Midos. Mipnei Shenochin Ve'alovin Heim. Because when Beis Shammai would rip into them, Beis Hillel didn't fight back. Someone once hurt me very much. He quoted my Sefer, only once quoted my Sefer. And he quoted the Sefer to rip it apart. And I was very, very hurt. But I didn't respond. So I hope that was the only time he ever quoted my Sefer. So I hope that I got the Gemara says that that the idea of Nelovin, that someone who was embarrassed by somebody, somebody was embarrassed by somebody but doesn't respond, I tried to thank him, I tried to correct it, and so he was right, I made a tiny mistake. He quoted it because I made a tiny mistake. And so the Gemara says, Shenochin v'alovin hayu, that someone who doesn't respond, so that's a work on midos. Alabaya should be zoch every time. I'm sure many times I fail in this regard. Gemara speaks about this in a few places, that alovin ve'ino nalovin, that people who are insulted and don't respond back. We haven't given to Nachon yet. Divrei Beis Shammai. V'lo od, el shemakdim in divrei Beis Shammai l'divreim. Not only that, they quote Beis Shammai first. They say the great Beis Shammai say like this, but we think maybe the halacha because of another raya is different, that they always first quote their adversary. They quote first their adversary. So, this is a beautiful, beautiful Gemara Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Of course, we pointed out that the Gemara itself says that, you know, that there's a chashivus of 48, of being metare sheretz, in other words, that one can even be metare sheretz, but the Gemara doesn't explain exactly what does it mean, elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. How could that possibly be? What does it mean that there is, that both of them are true? How do we answer that question, how they both could be right? So there's Dvarim Yaduim, that there is a Ritva on Yugimel on the base, Dibar Maskul Elu Ve'elu Divar Lekim Chaim, that the Ritva says the following, Shalu Rabbeinu Tsarfas, Rabbeinu Tsarfas were asked, Heyach Efshar Shiyuhu Shneyem Divar Lekim Chaim. The Osir is a Matir. How could both be correct? It's either Osir, it's either Motir. Either the Sheretz is Tamei, or the Sheretz is Tor. V'tirtzu. And the answer they explain beautifully. This is one of the most important ritvas, one of the most important Mar Makom probably in Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chaim. It's a very, very important ritva in Shas. Rav Shai pointed out that there's a similar ritva in Rosh Hashanah. V'tirtzu. Ki kasha'olam leisha lamarim mekabel teira. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to be mekabel teira, Heru loyal kol dover v'dover. Hakadosh Baruch Hu himself, when he was mefalpel with them, he showed them memtes ponim liyisur, umemtes ponim leheter. 49 reasons for. Interestingly, the Gemara said 48. No, by the way, that's for sure Kabbalah because numbers 49 and 48. 49 is a very, very important number because 49 is 7 times 7. Okay, yesh lodim. But anyhow, memtes ponim liyisur, memtes ponim leheter. V'shala HaKadosh Baruch Hu alzeh. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was asked. V'omar sheyezeh moso l'chachme Yisrael shebechol dar v'dor. The shaylas of halacha are when it's a machlokis between two legitimate authorities. There's a rabbi who advocates giving smicha to women. So why is not he a dayan? He's entitled to an opinion. So the answer is in an anecdote that they used to say in the Kollel, in Yeshivas Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, that there was a woman from his community that called up Rav Schachter. You heard that Rav Schachter had spoken out against them. So she called up and she asked Rav Schachter, from her world, this was the big rabbi. So she said, how could a rabbi in Yeshiva University disagree? So Rabbi Schachter said, it's very, very, very sharp. As I'll say, don't play with the Talmud Chacham, because the bite of a Talmud Chacham is like a nachash. Rav Schachter is felt, I guess at that time, Rav Schachter is really nice and sweet. Rav Schachter said, you should know that you're a great rabbi. The last test that he took in Smicha, he got a 35. So that's the answer to the question. If he got a 35 on the test, so then in such a case, he's not entitled to opinion. He might be a great rabbi. He might do fantastic things for the Jewish community and he'll get tremendous, tremendous Olam Haba. But then to take sides on issues that are so sensitive of what is appropriate for a minyan, who's supposed to be a Baal HaRah, etc., etc. So that he's not entitled, where Rav Schachter's famous line, he's not entitled to an opinion. So that's very, very important to know when one's entitled to an opinion or not. So that, so what we're talking about is remember, Rebbe of Yassar and Rebbe Yonah's son, they're Bali Madrega. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to quote them. I don't think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to quote someone who got a 35 on his Kollel Luchin. He's not going to quote somebody like that. So Kisha Ala Moshe Lamarim Lekabel Torah Herulo Al Kol Dover Dover Memtes Ponim LeIsser UMemtes Ponim LeHeter. V'Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Alzeh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked him. V'Omar. It's given over to the Chachmei Yisrael in every generation. They have to be a Barachi to be able to answer. V'nachonu l'fiat Rash. Now here's a very cryptic line in the Ritva. I don't know what he means. anybody sees literature on it, I'd be curious to see what it means. And the Ritva says basically it's correct. And then he says, "Uberderech haemes" is very tantalizing. Uberderech haemes yesh tam sod bedavar. And derech haemes, there is some time of sod, some time of kabbalah, and that, of course, he keeps from us, and he doesn't tell us what that is. So the point is that those things are machlokas between gedolei Torah. The Ritva has a very, very beautiful take on how we look at a machlokas between gedolei Torah, and specifically when the Gemara described. We're talk about the Gemara now. That in the Gemara, when we have a machlokas between Amorayim, so then in such a case we say Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself said Memtas Panim le'isar, Memtas Panim le'heter, and that was HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it over l'chachmei Yisrael shebechol dar v'dar to be machriya in that machlokas. In other words, here is where the sugya of lo bashamayim hits the sugya of Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. The Gemara Bava Metzia of Tanrach Noi, there when the walls are coming in, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, if he was paskening, he would have been noted to the Memtes Panim L'Tahara. But at the end of the day, there is Memtes Panim L'Tumah. Why? How could you have those two different concepts? So here we need a little bit basic Kabbalah that all of you are familiar with. Beis Shammai, as we've discussed in Sichas Musar in the past, represent Din. Beis Hillel represent Rachamim. It could be that Klape Shemaya, one should be executing Din. But the Chachamim, as the Machriya, might be executing Rachamim. So that's the classic example of, in Erev and Yudgimel on the base, that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are Elu Ve'elu, because Beis Shammai represents Din, and Beis Hillel represents Rachamim. So it could be Klape Shemaya, this is what I told my daughter, may she be well, that Klape Shemaya, it could be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying that really Klape Din, Alocha by Tarnar Shalachnoi, should be X. But in the world, there's another Bechina. The world is a complicated place. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has many, many different layers. There's many different parts of the human existence. And therefore, it could very well be that Klape Shemaya, the Hachra Mitzad Din, would go one way. And Klape Bezdin Shalmata, the Hachra, it's only Hachra. The Hachra is how we know a Glalacha. Which, of course, Rabbi Osai emphasizes a totally different angle that we've spoken about in the past. And that is that we don't start with the Halacha. Right? Yes, we need to know what we do, so that's why we do Mishnah Berurah Yom. It doesn't start with the halacha. It starts with the sugya. The halacha is just the hachra of the memtes tumma and the memtes l'tahara. And then we have the hachra, but that's the final thing. And you have different styles of hachra. You have the styles of hachra of the Ramah that we saw this morning. You have the style of hachra of the Gra, where the Gra says, okay, we have midas adin, that we have our sugya. The Gra's not denying that there isn't in Shemayim that possibility, but what we have in front of us, we pass like Rambam, we don't pass like Rabbeinu Tam, and that's it. And the Ramah's approach will be differently. Why is it that the Ramah's approach is different for the Vilna Gaon? So that, my friend, who I'm going to disagree with shortly, my friend who's now a Rebbe, I think he's a Rosh Hashiva in YU, I remember when he came from OJ, his name is Rabbi Danny Stein. So Rabbi Danny Stein said, quotes, as beautiful Marimakomos in the Marimakum that I gave you in the Beis Yitzchak. This part I agree with, where he points out, Rav Kook said this, Zatzal said this beautifully as well, and that is, and the Chazon Ish says, everybody basically says it, Danny said it very nicely, he said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a hand in the development of Halacha itself. In other words, that, you know, you could try to give sociological explanations why the Gra was like this and why the Ramah was like this, but at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu guides Torah Shabbat Ben even today. In other words, it's not the pshat that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Torah, taught Moshe Rabbeinu, memtes l'memtes, and then all, pardon my expression, all Gehenna broke loose, and then all the Chacham started arguing. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still guides the Chachmei HaMesorah. So da Hashem li'reya. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a guiding light of everything. Where halacha is going to be processed? Is it going to be processed in Poland, or is it going to be processed in Yerushalayim? Is it going to be in New York? Is it going to be in Tzfat? All of those things and many, many other factors are HaKadosh Baruch Hu running the world. And that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu God. And the most important part of God, of the world, is not what's happening in the United Nations. The most important part of the world is not who's the Prime Minister of Israel. The most important part of the world is HaKadosh Baruch Hu guarding His Torah. That is the most important part of human existence, and everything follows from that. Yes, Yisrael.
No.
It's not. It doesn't seem from the Ritva. The question was, did Moshe Rabbeinu explain the 49 reasons lahatir la'asar? As far as it would seem to me, is no. That Kadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu. By the way, it also. What does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu? That's hard for us. We don't know what it means to go up to Shemayim. So what it means that it shows. But that gilui of Mem Tes LaEsar, Mem Tes LaHatir, that gilui of Mem Tes LaEsar, Mem Tes LaHatir is not something that was passed down to us. Hafuch, when you learn Torah, if you're Zochet to become one of the Chachmei HaMesorah, and again, I have a very, pardon the term, a very liberal definition of being one of the Chachmei HaMesorah. You shouldn't take sides in Machlokas of whether something that majority of the Chachmei HaTorah, if you're not in a league to be able to disagree with the majority, so then you shouldn't take a side. But at the same time, you're still a Chachmei HaMesorah. You still teach Torah to your children, still teach Torah in your shul, still write articles for a Torah journal, still write works in English to be mashpia, those are also Chachmei HaMesorah. And the moment a person applies himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, then he has a chelek in that memtes l'tuma memtes l'tara. To be someone who's a machriya, so that requires a person to be on a particular level, to be able to be in that cadre that he has a place to be machriya. Obviously, that how that is decided is in itself a very nuanced issue. But the answer is I think the gilui of the memtes is through Amelus Petora. It's not something Moshe Rabbeinu revealed. It was HaKadosh Baruch who had put it in his Mesiras HaTorah, but it's up to Klal Yisrael itself and the Amelim Petorah to reveal those two Bechinas of the Memtes Sharitum, the Memtes of Tumah, the Memtes of Tahara. Now, those Bechinas of Memtes of Tumah, Memtes of Tahara, some of them were already revealed and some of them have still not. Some of them haven't been. And that's why, that's what Chazal mean. Also, another Maimer Chazal is connected. Lo ba shemayim, elu ve'elu. And a third Maimer, that is Kol ma shetamlet vasik, asin l'chadish, nemer l'moshe b'sinai. That's also a reflection of this as well. That the Talmud is accessing that bechina of elu ve'elu, that bechina of what Moshe Rabbeinu, we're not necessarily going to paskin like it. What a Talmud says is a beautiful pshat in Rashi, doesn't necessarily mean we're going to paskin like that. If the Ramah said differently, the odds are we're not going to paskin like him. But does that mean it's wrong? According to the Ritva, it doesn't mean that it's wrong. Rav Chaim Rosenblatt says this very beautifully in his book. I didn't bring my book. Okay. For those of you who have it, just give. Basically, it's the Ritva. Rav Chaim Rosenblatt has a couple more Maramikomos, but basically, it's the Ritva. But let's just see it nicely, put nicely in English on page 49. And of course, what's very beautiful here is he quotes Rav Amos. So let's take a look on page 49. He quotes the Gemara, and then he quotes the Maharal. The Maharal explains as follows on the bottom of page 49. When it comes to almost any matter, most people recognize that issues are multifaceted, with pros and cons. Ironically, the Maharal points out that when it comes to Torah, we think very black and white. Either it's kosher or not. But this is a mistake. Just as with all other issues we encounter, there are many reasons to support each side, and they can all be true, so too regarding the Torah. Although on a practical level, sahalacha l'maisa then becomes just a question of practice. Now, it happens to be there is a chiyuv la'sukei shmaitza libed elchasa, and as we've shown just a couple days ago, it's just a couple days ago that That's critical. And that one requires a lot of amelus to be able to do that. But at the end of the day, that's the final result. To be connected to Shemayim and Torah, in the first, the Iker Avoda, is the Memtes, Latuma Memtes Lataru. Although on a practical level, Reb Chaim continues, there can indeed be only one way to act, this is not in contradiction to the fact that on a theoretical level, there are true and valid reasons to the opposite. The best point can be understood with an excellent metaphor I heard from my Rebbe Yeshiva Netivari, Rav Amos Lubanshita. And basically, Rav Amos is describing in a Tivari Rebbe's meeting. What does he describe? He doesn't say it's in a Tivari Rebbe's meeting, but he says, a faculty meeting is called to decide whether or not to expel a student. One teacher posits that he should be expelled, so as not to be a negative influence. Another teacher says expelling a student might lead him to become drawn to a life of crime. Well, the only thing that's missing is the option for gullus. That's the only thing that's missing here. Although the size of the staff of the school is definitely the Tivari. By the time all opinions have been stated, there are 27 reasons to expel him and 32 reasons to keep him. That's not bad. That's basically Berach, Leah, and the staff in the yeshiva. 40, it's probably not enough, no? 27 plus 32. Are the 20, if you count, I'd say there's probably Leah, and there's more than that. Are the 27 valid reasons to expel him a contradiction to the truth and validity of the 32 reasons to keep him, or vice versa? Absolutely not. The reasons to eject the student are indeed true. On a practical level, it's got to be either one of them. But even though it's decided to practically follow only one side of the issue, in no way does it negate the validity of all the other reasons. And basically, this expression, this mashal that Rav Amos is giving, is what the Ritva is saying, what the Ritva gives us, what's behind this bechina of Elu Ve'elu. Now, Rav Chaim Rosenblatt goes further. He quotes something very interesting from Rav Chaim Friedlander, which I doubt Rav Schechter would agree with. I'll explain what I mean by Rav Schechter shortly. And then he quotes, we've been amel in the class and trying to understand the havamina of the Gemara. I'll give you an example of that that I want to get back to that I never finished off in Shir. We had a Rajba who had a Havamina in the Yerushalmi that if you say b'fanei nechtav, and the Baal is Ma'arer, if she doesn't get married, you still need to be Mekayim the Chosama. So by the way, I found that the Yerushalmi is Mufurish against the Rajba. Remember I told you, maybe the Yerushalmi doesn't all like the Bavli? So I just found, yes, 2 days ago, yesterday, I don't remember, that the Bavli, take a look, remember I told you Yushalmi? Yushalmi on Beis Amalf has a Havamina like the Rajba and then rejects it. So here you have the Rajba's being the Falfel, what ultimately is a Havamina. So Reb Chaim Friedlander says like this, even if the Gemara ultimately says Tiyufta, that the Gemara rejects and says this Shita is wrong, this Amara is wrong because it's against the Brisa. Here, I didn't see this inside Reb Chaim Friedlander, so I'm putting this on Reb Chaim Rosenblatt. Kedarko Bekodesh, Reb Rosenblatt always gives his Mar Mekomos, he tells us exactly where he got it from. He says the following, however, when such refutations take place, this isn't a contradiction to the fact that the rejected opinion is nevertheless a Torah true opinion. He says, even when the Gemara says Tiyufta, he goes a step further. Even when the Gemara says Tiyufta, why do I say it's a step further? This is no longer Mefurish in the Ritva. You could say the Ritva was talking about a case only where there isn't a Tiyufta. Reb Chaim Rosenblatt goes a step further from Reb Chaim Friedlander that says, even when the Gemara rejects it, we say Elu Ve'elu. Then Reb Rosenblatt goes on and quotes a few Mar Mekomos in Kabbalah about why that should be so. What's the idea in Kabbalah? I'll just summarize in a sentence. The idea is that if you have a Talmud Chacham who has worked on himself and he develops his neshama and he's mitzdarev his neshama to Torah, then that is the way in which he becomes connected to the Mesiras HaTorah, HaMelamei Torah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Melamei Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, then he becomes connected to that Melamei Torah. And therefore, even though it's rejected based on a Braisa, it becomes a Cheftza. How does it become a Cheftza of Torah? It becomes a Cheftza of Torah because, and that's what the Gemara has, along the lines of what the Gemara said about the Midos of Esau, if he has the appropriate Midos, and he's Omel appropriately in the Torah, even if it's going to be rejected, it could be that it's one of the memtes and the memtes. And that's fine, because just because the Tana and the Mishnah or the Braisa said the opposite, so the halacha, you can't follow it. But that doesn't mean that it wasn't on the other side of the memtes. The Tana who said no, he was on the memtes that was, let's say the Tana says that it's tar. And the Amora says it's Tame. So the Tana was telling us that the way he was supposed to be knowing is to be Tar. But if this person who's coming from a spiritually healthy place, and he didn't get a 35 on the Bechina, he's not overstepping his bounds, etc., etc., so then in such a case, even though there's a Tiyufta against him, that's how far he wants to go. And he quotes from Reb Sadok this idea, V'chulei V'chulei, Ad Kan Divrei Reb Chaim Rosenblatt, why do I need to learn Gemara, this beautiful advancement of the Ritva. Beautiful, Kaftar Refer. Yes, Yosef Chaim.
I don't get why wouldn't the Ritva even be talking about a Tiyufta?
The pashtus of the Ritva, I could have said no. I bet Rav Shachter would disagree. Rav Shachter would say, no. There are cases that we say, Elu Ve'elu, that Beishame and Beisila weren't refuted. What was the Gemara's example? Beishame and Beisila. Beishamai Beisila weren't refuted by a Beferisha Gemara, a Beferisha Braisa. But if Beishamai would hear that there's a Braisa against them, then of course they would back down. They would back down. And we can make mistakes, right? We make mistakes all the time. I'll speak for myself. This past week I quoted the Aruch HaShulchan incorrectly. That wasn't Elu Ve'elu. Right? It would be Elu Ve'elu still if I got the Chazon Ish right. If I understood the Chumran B'nei Brak, so then it's Elu Ve'elu even if we're going to follow a Chacham Avadya to be makel about printed Torah. On that you say Elu Ve'elu because you don't have a Beferish Abraisa against it. But if you found a Beferish Abraisa against it, so then in such a case, then you don't say Elu Ve'elu. That's a Shtikl Chiddush. It's not Reb Chaim Rosenblatt on his own. He's quoting from Reb Chaim Friedlander. Now you have to check up the Marmakos. You have to decide whether Reb Friedlander really says what Reb Chaim Rosenblatt says. Just because it's in a book, it's nicely done. Whoever did the cover, wow, it's light green and black, b'chule, b'chule, b'chule. Really nicely done. So just because it's in a book, Ray Braunspiegel used to say, if you want to find any crazy idea, all you have to do is open up a sefer. Nowadays you'll find any crazy idea. You know, just because it's in a sefer, it's bound. I can tell you, as someone who wrote a sefer and had it bound, there's no particular kedusha in the fact that you printed it and you had it bound. It's no, right? You try. You're supposed to work extra harder to make sure that's right. But most people who are not giants, they write in the sefer that, you know, what I'm doing now is I'm sharing with you my Amelus Petora, and now you go help me out. You know, you tell me what you... That's Kach Darko Shel Torah. That's the Derech of Torah. So nowadays, just because a Rav quotes something, Kal V'chomer in a Shir, but even in a Sefer, you got to check up whether that's correct or not, and that's beautiful. And it's okay for the Rav to make a mistake if he was appropriately Amel and he's not overstepping his bounds. There is a Rashi. Hair life is going to get complicated. This is beautiful. It's a beautiful mivneh. I haven't, you know, gotten into the inspiration. Now's not the time. But this is so inspiring. This Elu Ve'elu is so inspiring. We haven't, you know, I didn't prepare a joke. I didn't prepare a story to bring this point out. But if you just spend some time thinking about it, you know, this is so beautiful. And it's a beauty of our Torah that we're connecting to Mesiras HaTorah Misinai. And our Amelus is being mitzarev to the Amelus of Moshe Rabbeinu with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, etc., etc. It's beautiful, beautiful things. There is a little bit of a... I want to throw a wrinkle into this. Share with you a beautiful Torah of Rav Shachter based on the wrinkle. And leave off and say that there's Elu Ve'elu about Elu Ve'elu. That's the beauty of Torah. Comes along Rashi in Ksubis on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph. And Rashi, by the way, it's a murderous sugya. It's a murderous, murderous sugya. Rabbi Yol started with the good chavrusa to go through for the Rashi from the beginning to the end. And there's some, I'll be frank, I don't understand the entire Rashi. I remember in the Daf Yomi, I worked hard in just figuring out the Parshat Pshat of the Gemara. It's not easy. If you spend a lot of time, I think you'll be able to figure out the Rashi, but you need to spend a lot of time. We are going to be taking the Rashi a little bit out of context. And Rashi says the following words in Ksubis Nun Zayin Amud Aleph. Do they have a Ksubis? Thank you. Rashi says the following. Rashi discusses in the beginning of Dibur HaMashkel HaKamashkelon that if you have two Amorayim who are arguing about what another Amora said. So Rashi uses the words right before Avol. He says, Rashi is very, very blunt. Rashi says, Chad Minayu Meshaker. One of them is lying. So basically, if two people are sitting in a shir from Rav Nevinsal, Shlita, and Rav Nevinsal says, he said, before Pesach, and Rav Nevinsal says that item X is chametz. And the two people come out. Look, Rav Nevinsal Shlita sometimes is a little bit difficult to hear. There's no microphone. And one of them heard that item X is chametz. That's what Rav Nevinsal really said. And another person heard him say item X is not chametz. Says Rashi, there's no elu ve'elu dibur l'kim chayim. Chad minayu meshaker. One of them is lying. Rashi doesn't cut him much slack. You know, I have more rachmanis. Maybe because I've been on the other side. You know, it wasn't my intention to lie. It was just I was applying myself the best. Maybe I didn't apply myself the best I can. But Rashi says, Chad minayu meshaker. One of them is lying. He either said that it's chametz, or it's not chametz. And he said it was chametz. Avol, continues Rashi, my voice is slowly going. Can I have somebody else read? This is straightforward. This is not the hard part of Rashi. Yaakov, you want to read Rashi out loud? Did you get a chance to read it?
No.
Who wants to read? I just don't want, I'm scared I'm going to lose my voice. I'm screaming too much. That would be helpful. Zach, you want to read? Avol, please, thank you.
Kipli Trey Amora is a din of Israel Heter, Kol Chad Omar, Hachi Mistam and Tama, Inkan Sheker, Kol Chad Bechad Zvaradi Dei Kama. So if two Amora are arguing in dinner in Vinim Amonos or in Israel Heter, and they each say their own Svara, then this isn't Sheker, as he said in the previous case. Well, this isn't Sheker. Kol Chad Bechad Zvaradi Dei Kama. Mario and time alayatera, Mario and time alayasura. So if he gives a reason to give answer, he gives a reason to be answer, then that's Torah. Marvadavi milsa la milsa afi.
Everybody knows the words madam milsa la milsa, right? That's a very, very important expression. To be madam milsa milsa is to compare. Hurrah is that a person, a posek, a rav, says that in the Gemara it says case X. And your case that you're saying to me is the exact same thing. And since the Gemara says in case X, it's mutter, therefore I assume case Y is mutter as well. By the way, I've mentioned in the past, according to many opinions, if you don't answer that case Y is I case X, but case X is mefurish and mishnah berurah is mutter, so then that's not even called hora. You're not being madam milsa la milsa. If it's that exact case, is a mishnah berurah, that's even less than hora. It's what Rav Soloveitchik called maramakom. You're just simply giving a maramakom. You're not even giving hora. And they're nafkaminas. Ask the guys who are learning in Yitzchak Elchanan Masechah Sanhedrin. They're nafkaminas la'alacha if the rav gives, the dayan gives a maramakom versus whether he gives a hora. So here it's a case that he's giving a hora. Continue, he's giving a hora. The Amora says, I think that based on what the Tana said, the Hora would be like this. And the other Amora says, I say that it would go like this. Now, these Amoraim are already Baal Madrega, they didn't get a 35, and so on and so forth. So then, in such a case, continues Rashi, continue, Zach.
From where?
Wherever you want. You can start reading somewhere in Taharis or whatever. Go ahead.
Marmadame milsul milsahafi, marmadame mils marmadame le bin yone akhar, you know, and one's madame mils in this and in a different union. Vigala Maymar, ilu bailu dibrilum kayam him. Zimnin de shayak high time up. The zimnin de shayak high time up. There are times when this reason will be applicable here, and there'll be times when this will be applicable here. Shata mitapech lefi shinoi adarim v'shinoi muat, and based on the different circumstances, the din could change according to these reasons.
It's a very, very cryptic line in Rashi. I just make believe that line doesn't exist. You can't say halo on that, no. It seems that Rashi is saying that both of those things are true. However, at time, in other words, the Tana said A. The Amora says Y based on A, and another Amora says Z based on A. And that Tana would agree to Y in this particular case, but it could be in other cases he would agree to Z. In other words, both of those things are possible within what the Tana said. Now Rashi has a nuance over here that Rashi says, depending on the circumstance, the Tana might have said Z, and then in a different circumstance, he might have said Y. But it's unclear what the Shinui HaDvarim would be, and therefore you say, Eilu Ve'ilu Dibrei Elokim Chayim. On both, it's Eilu Ve'ilu. Anybody would present it slightly differently? I'm learning with you now. Who are that's basically correct? Yeshmo? Yeah, inside, absolutely. Vizimin, let's go back. The Ikal Meimar, then we could say Eilu Ve'ilu Dibrei Elokim Chayim. By the way, the Rabbi Kiva Eger gets excited and he says Erevin Yugim on the base. Okay. Zimnin Deshayech Haitano. Sometimes the halacha makes sense to be Y based on what the Tana said in A. And sometimes it makes sense for the halacha to be Z. Mishapech lefi shinui advarim, and that will change based on slight circumstances that the Tana never explained. Vishinui ma'at, and therefore mekabel both of them.
Why is it a
slight change in the milsa, like from the words medama milsa la milsa, the Tana would come to a slightly different opinion.
Why the
answer is because if it would be obvious, then it would be clear to everybody that the Tana would say that the halacha should be Z.
But slight change.
Because it's so unclear what the Tana would say in this slight nuance. Uh-huh. What would Rabbeinu Tam say about underlining Chidushei Torah? Do you need Dalet Peos? Not so clear. But to Shinui Me'at, Rabbeinu Tam never spoke about writing Torah. At least Rabbeinu Tam in the Balei Tosas. Never spoke about that. So now, these are, as I understand, these are legitimate sides in terms of understanding Rabbeinu Tam. That would be an example just from our present sugya. Rav Shechter Shlita makes a big deal about what Rashi said is sheker. What did Rashi say is not elu ve'elu? Yes, Shmuel?
People arguing about what previous...
That's very logical, right? If you're arguing about what someone said, There's no Elu Ve'elu. So Rav Shechter has a fascinating chiddush. There are a few places in Shas Rav Shechter uses this Rashi to explain some difficult things. Tosas and Ksubis on the Abdalid of Alpha Talmidim photocopy. This is in the Ikveh Atzom. Tosas on the Abdalid of Alpha, unfortunately, is in Yonah Dioma for us in the Yeshiva. Tosas on the Abdalid of Alpha quotes a Gemari Moichatan that says, Hilchasa Kemekil Ba'abel. It's a Baha'i. The bottom line in Tosas and Ksubis. That we follow the lenient opinion when it comes to Abdalid. So that's a very, very interesting question why that's so. A simple explanation would be because it's a Din Derabbana. Avelus is generally Derabbana. It's a Hilchos HaKemekel Ba'avel. There are problems with that explanation. We're not learning Hilchos Avelus now. We'll just leave it at Hilchos HaKemekel Ba'avel. The Ba'ag Ba'ag, the Ba'al Halachos Gedolos, has a cryptic line. The Ba'ag says that... someone photocopied, no? You didn't photocopy the Big Fan song?
Yeah.
So... oh, you didn't photocopy the Tosas. Can I look up the Tosas? It's a one-liner in Tosas. The Baha'i says, we say Hilchos HaKemekel Ba'avel only by Tanoim, not by Machlokes Amoraim. Got that? Only by Machlokes Tanoim, but not by Machlokes Amoraim. So Rav Shechter tries to explain why that's so. He says, based on this Rashi, the Pshat is beautiful. The only time you could follow a lenient opinion is when that lenient opinion falls into the category of Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. But if that opinion does not fall into the category of Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim, it's wrong. How's it wrong? Maybe it's Yufta, not according to a Friedlander. And you see where I'm not convinced that everybody's going to agree with a Friedlander. To Yufta, maybe that's proof that he's wrong. Not sure. I have to open up then to Tiv Aryeh, there's another side to Lahagdil Toru La'adira. There might be a slightly other side to Rav Friedlander's approach. Elu Ve'elu. Elu Ve'elu on Elu Ve'elu. Just dawned on me right now. Yeah, I can't get over that. Okay. So on that, so Ilchasa Kamekel Ba'avel only applies if it's a legitimate shita. Of course, if the guy got a 35 on his test, you don't say you're going to follow that lenient opinion, even by Dinei Derabbanan. What's another example of that? If he's an Amora, that's quoting what a Tana said. Either the Tana said X, or the Tana said Y. Here comes Rav Shechter's whopper. Rav Shechter argues that most Amachlokas on the Amorayim is what the Tana meant to say. And if the Machlokas is what the Tana meant to say, so the Tana said either X, or the Tana said Y. And if that's so, you don't apply Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. And therefore you can't apply Hilchos HaKemekel Ba'avel. It's a brilliant, brilliant shot, because Hilchos HaKemekel Ba'avel is really, really hard to understand. Permission? Can I ask you for a tova? My wife knows that I say shir now, and she's calling, so I just want to make sure it's not an emergency. If I could ask Ramesha to call her back. Shakar. Thank you. So that's the halacha of Hilchos HaKemekel. That's halacha of Hilchos HaKemekel Ba'avel. That's Rav Shechter's husband. Step out. Rav Shechter evokes this in other places. Step base. Here we're going to see a totally different approach than Rav Rosenblatt has based on Gedolei Torah by my friend Rav Dani Stein, who's a Maravitz Torah himself nowadays. He doesn't say it on his own. He quotes Rav Shechter. And basically what he does is he quotes Rav Shechter based on, it's an extension of Rav Shechter's own Torah. In other words, what I just told you, which is printed in the Sefer Big Fat Son, Rav Dani pointed out is what something Rav Shechter told him just a step further. Now you should know this sugya is makif a tremendous amount. The sugya is makif a tremendous amount. In other words, what Rav Schechter here was, what Rabbi Danny Stein, Rav Schechter, discussing is something that you know I also find passionate. I feel very passionate. Take a look at the title of the article. The article is not about Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. It's not a coincidence that we're both coming to Rav Schechter. It could be my primary Rebbe was Rav Braunschweigel, but no question that Rav Schechter had a tremendous influence. Of course, now my primary Rebbe is Rav Nevinson. But once upon a time, I was very much influenced, and that's why I was insistent when we did the Sugya of Sirtut, I was very much influenced by Rav Schechter's approach to Sugya Shabbat Sleep Hilchasa, and that's where Rabbi Danny Stein really is coming to fight. Rabbi Danny Stein was coming to lay down the law against was people who learn and just learn with different conceptual possibilities without coming to any understanding of what is the halacha. And they do it in the name of Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. That they say that at the end of the day we just figure out the Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim, and there are many, many, many different shitas. People who only learn lamdos and don't come to a conclusion la halacha are also guilty of that. That's what Rabbi Danny Stein and Rav Schechter speaks out against this many, many a time. That's what this article is about. However, Rabbi Stein went a step further. He quotes, let's first do the body of the article and then say what he quotes from Rav Schechter in the footnote. Page 688. Avlim kein tzarech lahakir hasvarim. Do lo minan al kol svara ba'alma elu ve'elu d'vrei kim chayim. Not every svara do we say d'vrei kim chayim. Now this is no longer Rav Schechter speaking out against someone who got a 35 on his test. He's talking about someone who is a real Adam Gadol. And he says he's not sure that just because he has a good Svara, that just because this is a decent working shot in the Rambam, do you say Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim, what he said? V'chashim kechatzo shel Torah. Ela heicha shehu mechuvas keneged al kopanim echad shel ha'emes b'haydina. It has to be supported by something that's emes in the din. And then he quotes our Rashi. And then he says, Ubir of Shechter Shitaso, Shumishum de Ro, Pam Machlokis Ben Tanoim, He Machlokis Alibadin of Shayu, the Kol Chad Vachad Svar Dide Kamar. If you have a Machlokis amongst the Tanoim, then each one of them is saying their own Svara. Al Machlokis Ben Amoroyim, but if it's Machlokis between Amoroyim, Bero Pam and Mayibof in the Pliya Alibid the Chanmea Tanoim. Da'avei machlokis b'metzius. What comes out then, and Rav Schechter did say it, I showed it to you, by Hilchos HaKamei Kavala. The Amora is arguing what the Tana meant to say. What does it mean the Tana meant to say? It's either X or it's Y. So then it becomes machlokis b'metzius. That's no different than someone who didn't hear him, two Talmidim who didn't hear him, Nevin Salah. One said he said that's chametz, and one said he said that's not chametz. If it's a machlokas and metzias, then you no longer say, Elu ve'elu, Divrei Elokim Chayim. If that's so then Rabbi Stein goes a step further, and this drove me crazy. Footnote number one. He's got two friends disagreeing with each other. Footnote number one. He says, if that's so, that there's one shita that we follow, and halacha was koveya, that this is the appropriate shita, we just said it's not chefzer shel Torah, then it's bittul time. Take a look. Footnote number one. V'chein shematim, he quotes this from Rav Schechter himself. The machlokis or rishonim amusat al machlokis b'kriyas eiz asugya b'gemara. If there's a machlokis or rishonim how to read a gemara, to lo amrin gabei ve'ilu et divrei kain, she said, echa me'em b'vadei toh. There's only one correct shot. D'yev shalomar, d'kimen akmar l'shneihem. You can't say that the Gemara meant both pshat. The divrei b'nei adam ela pirish achas v'kavana achas. He meant one thing. U'memela yeshita shu emes v'kavana sa Gemara v'yeshita shetah v'lechei nira de limud ribu ashitas ben rishonim she'enu mekubal na'alacha. Someone spends a lot of time on rishonim that are not mekubal na'alacha. Shenech leku b'avana se'ez asugya lo havi afilu b'chlal mitzvah de libud ha'chayim. Doesn't even call it. So you see how my great Rebbe Rav Schechter Shlita took, supposedly, this is an oral report. So I'm waiting for Nudnik, Mirz Hashem, when Shechta comes, to force him to look at this to say whether he agrees with this or not. He reports orally from already. Bechura, Rav Shechter Kedarko Bekodesh, I told Rav Chaim Rosenblatt Shlita that he needs to deal with the Rashi and Ksubis. He needs to deal with the Rashi and Ksubis on Zayin Amid Aleph. Rav Amos said that he remembers the Rashi, he even remembered where it was on the Amud. But at the end of the day, this Rashi also needs to be, this Rashi needs to be dealt with as well. Because Rav Amos' mashal about the 32 and 27 reasons only fits when we're talking about a theory. But if the Tanam, if it's a machlokis of what the Tana said, so then you no longer could say that mashal. The mashal falls away. On the other hand, my rabbeim, except for Rav Shechter Shlita, Yesh Lodun, Rav Dani is a someone who one could be someh on. So I'm a little bit torn. But I want to defend Rav Chaim Rosenblatt's book. Okay? I want to defend the other side. Whether Rav Shechter said or not, I know Rav Braunschweig never took this approach. I never heard anything like this from him. Rav Soloveitchik's shiurim are not like that at all. We never did a cheshbon that we never thought about, oh, wait a second, should we be learning this ritva? Because this ritva is only bedas, let's say in last year, Yisrael and I learned a little bit of Eilu Metzias. So we should cheshbon, this ritva is only bedas rabba. We pass like Abaye, and therefore, the halacha, we say that Abaye is right in what the Mishnah means, and then this ritva is bittul Torah. Now, the Ritva might have an answer why he wrote the Ritva. The question now becomes, what should we be osek in? Now, it happens to be, I think Rav Shechter's point is amazing. Go too slow because of Rigui Ashitas. Read the basic Gemara, possibilities how to read it, pask in the Shaila, and move on. With Havana, with understanding what the Machlokis is. But Me'ina Kisa, this is already going to another extreme. And that is, you have to cheshbin whether this is a Machlokis. That's Bittul Torah. So I thought that there is a simple yishuv. I ran this by Rav Korn Shlita. I thought that there's a simple yishuv that doesn't work. Again, it's not consistent with what Rav Stein quoted from Rav Shechter. But at the end of the day, I wanted to defend Rabbi Rosenblatt's book, even though I think it needs more of a treatment for Rashi, Ksubas, Anun, Zayin, and Aleph. It needs to be discussed in more detail. But I'd like to give a defense of why what he's quoting is not against what Rashi said. Maybe even defending Rav Friedlander. Certainly Rav Tzadok, HaKohen, Lublin that he quotes for a few places. I think it's straightforward. There are the Gemara in Ksubis on Daf Nun Zayin Amid Aleph was expressly that the Amora, one Amora said that the previous Amora said X, and the other Amora said, the other Amora said, why? On that, says Rashi, it's Sheker. Sheker, Mamish, Sheker. It's not Eilu Ve'elu Dirakayim. Sheker, Mamish. And therefore, it's Bittul Torah. If you follow the wrong one, and if you made a mistake, La Halacha, Nebuch, then you made a mistake, La Halacha, it's wrong. There's no Eilu Ve'elu. But what happens if it's a little bit more vague? What if it's a little bit more vague? What if it's a case in which Rabbeinu Tam said that you need Dalit Peos for tefillin, but it's not clear whether Rabbeinu Tam holds you need Dalit Peos for writing Chidushei Torah. Let's say it was unclear. You could show me then I'm making a mistake. Rabbeinu Tam the Sefer HaYashar is Mufurish. If you show me Rabbeinu Tam the Sefer HaYashar is Mufurish, that's no longer Eilu Ve'elu. Right? Eilu Ve'elu then goes through a process. When they find Rabbeinu Tam the Sefer HaYashar, what was once Eilu Ve'elu is no longer Eilu Ve'elu. Then we say that this sheet is wrong. It's a Tiyufta. I know what Chaim Friedlander would say about that. I'm not that we're saying it's a Tiyufta. It's no longer Eilu Ve'elu. That's my Natiyah. But there, it's not clear. The Mishnah, Yehu Shalom Midas, you have a Hechreach that the Tana said X as opposed to Y? No! The Tana is not clear. If the Tana is not clear and we pask in one way, that means the Halacha was Machriya one way, as the Ritvan Erevin says. But in that you do say Elu Ve'elu. So what I think was that my dear friend Rav Danny Stein, what he did was he took the Rashi and he just made it broader than the Rashi, than what Rashi said. Rashi only said that it's true. Every once in a while people assume it's Elu Ve'elu, it's not, because it's based on an error. And that's where Shechter has a very powerful point. He does point out a lot of times it's based on an error and people still call it Torah because someone who was great said it. No! If you have a Tiyufta, that clearly this great Talmud Chacham said it. Let's use the Rabbeinu Tam, that's a great example. If we continue to be mefalpel in Rabbeinu Tam, once we have Rabbeinu Tam in the Sefer Yashar, Rabbeinu Tam didn't say it, so then that's Bittul Taira. Then that's Bittul Taira. It's not a Shita, Shita Dechuya. And we're Mechuya of La Nita Shel Taira, La Suke Shmaitz Ali B'dil Chassan, call a spade, and call it wrong. And call it wrong. Of course, it gets into a tricky area, and that is, what happens if the Bali Tosas quoted Rabbeinu Tam one way, and now we have Rabbeinu Tam to say for Ayasha to call it wrong against the great Talmidim of Rabbeinu Tam? That's a little bit sensitive. But at the end of the day, it could be that our chiyuv is, and that's what the Gra, that's what the Gra would do. The Gra would say, based on this, it's Mefurish not that way. But if there's no Echreyach, even if we don't pask in that way, la halacha, if it's, there's no echreach that this is sheker, so then on that there's already elu ve'elu. As long as there's a possibility, that's mem tes latar, mem tes latoma, and that I think is the amita shoter. I have to admit that my yishuv puts me in the camp of Rabbi Rosenblatt, and not only am I disagreeing with the footnote of Danny Stein, but it could be that I'm saying a little bit different, and this I say with tremendous pachad, a little bit different than my great Rebbe Rosh Chodesh. Not only in the footnote, because the footnote is reported. What I'm saying now is not so mukhruf in the big kveyat song. But that's the way my Rabbeim learned Hodore Doros. That's how my Rabbeim accept for Rosh Chodesh Shlita. And that's the beauty of Torah. Here we have Elu Ve'elu on Elu Ve'elu. But it would seem to me that this is the approach. It needs to be a balance. That you need to be machriya lahalacha. A person shouldn't waste his time on the ribui ashitos. Every once in a while, the ribui ashitos, it would be bittul Torah. 90% of the time, it's not bittul Torah. 95% of the time. But you should keep that in mind. And as Rabbi Stein goes on to point out, that Kadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, the quote unquote, is developed through La Suke Shmaitz Aliv Dilchasa, and that's a critical part. La Suke Shmaitz Aliv Dilchasa. Here he's right, that one has to work hard La Suke Shmaitz Aliv Dilchasa as well, because that is one of the avodas of the Megala, the Emes of Torah, being the Megala, the Emes of Torah, like the Derech of the Gra, etc., etc. Turn off the recorder.